High school basketball is on.
Driving hard on the left hand as nobody stopped ball and getting to the glass and finishing for two.
High school basketball is brought to you by Blue River Restoration, Shelby County Drug-Free Coalition, McKay Manor, First Bank Shelbyville.
Two post players working well together.
Acra Automotive.
Nice high-low play there, walling off her defender.
Cagney's Pizza King, Sandman Brothers, J&B Quality Home Furnishings. High school basketball is also brought to you by Stanley Jones Insurance, Major Health Partners, BP Doc Shots, Christian Electric, Hoosier Realtor, Penny Acres, Clark Orthodontics, Shelby Materials, H&R Block, Maximum Result.
Girls basketball sectional champions to be crowned across the state of Indiana, including two here in Shelby County and one for our broadcast game tonight. From Triton Central, the eighth-ranked 2A Tigers welcome in Shenandoah with a berth in the Speedway Regional on the line. Good evening. We're glad to have you along on the Stanley Jones Insurance pregame report. Stanley Jones with insurance service you can rely on. 19-4 Triton Central, ranked in the top 10 much of the season. We'll play 17-6 Shenandoah tonight here in Fairland, and the winner will play the winner between South Putnam and Cascade at the Cascade location in the second game of the regional semis in Speedway next week. My broadcast partner is Jason Parker, and it is probably this night more than any other, more than state championship night, because there's not that many teams there, more than any other night that you can define your season. And it doesn't really matter what happened the rest of the way. It's tonight that goes in the trophy case.
Yeah, absolutely. You always hear everybody starts at 0-0 come sectional time. And for some teams, they can really right a lot of wrongs that have happened throughout the season with wins tonight. And you don't have to look very much further than right here in Shelby County with Waldron. And not many people, maybe nobody, gives them a chance tonight to beat Jacksonville, but they are there. They have an opportunity. And you have to put yourself in that game to win a sectional. Waldron has done that, and they could shock the world with a win tonight.
Triton Central wouldn't shock as many if they win this game over Shenandoah, and there's actually, since last night, an added reason for that. Let's go to our injury report brought to you by Major Health Partners. Experience the major difference. Shenandoah has a terrific freshman guard, 5'4", Catherine Perry, just under 19 points per game, almost 5 assists, nearly 6 steals per game, but she will not play in this game tonight.
Yeah, you just talked about the stats and what they're going to miss without Catherine Perry in the lineup. She's a small freshman, but she means so much to this team with her point total. Her everything really runs through her, 5 steals, almost 6 steals a game. And one of the big stats that jumped off the page to me, 2.5 turnovers. So a player who handles the ball almost every possession for Shenandoah, only turned the ball over a little more than 2 a game. Somebody's going to have to fill that role. And we'll see if Shenandoah has that person that can fill that role. And they're going to have to do it as a team in the scoring column. But can someone else pick up that ball handling role that Perry has filled so well?
Catherine Perry was rolled on top of by maybe more than one player going after a loose ball. Not sure whether or not she truly has a concussion, but doctors have recommended she not play. She may be available next week if Shenandoah could advance from here tonight. For Triton Central, it may be their biggest player, the reason they're here. They were heavily favored to beat Nicetown, and they did so by a wide margin, but led by just 2 at halftime until starting freshman center Tinley Phelps took over.
Yeah, Tinley Phelps was a focus of Triton Central's second half, to say the least. Everything went inside out. I know that was a big focus at halftime with Coach Graham. They wanted to make sure Tinley Phelps touched the ball, and more importantly, they got it in position where she's comfortable right now as a freshman, and we saw her score pretty much at ease last night. Whether it was on her first attempt or her second attempt, she did get a lot of offensive rebounds, and she's one of the big reasons why they were able to really run away with that game last night.
Two programs that, through their history, are accustomed to being in this type of ball game. Triton Central seeking its 10th sectional title. They've been to two regionals, have not been able to get past the semi-state level. Shenandoah, well, they've done that before, and certainly an illustrious history. 13 sectionals, 5 regionals, 4 semi-states, and 2 state titles in 03 and 05. And their first year coach in Damian Wyatt, he was a student back in those days. In fact, he married Kara Kiesling, who was a mental attitude winner for the 05 state champs. So he knows the history, and he's done a pretty good job of bringing it back with 16, make it 17 wins this season.
Yeah, Shenandoah has a strong history, and they've had a very, very successful season this year. Sputtered down the stretch since January 11th with their loss at LaPel, and then another loss at Wapahani mixed in with 2 wins against Cowan and Anderson Prep Academy. But last night against Eastern Hancock, we saw in spurts the team Shenandoah can be. Now, Eastern Hancock almost came back and won that game, but Shenandoah did enough down the stretch to get the lead back and to secure the win.
Coming up on our pregame report, brought to you by Stanley Jones Insurance, our coaches' conversations, Brian Graham, the head coach at Triton, Damian Wyatt in his first year as head coach at Shenandoah. You're listening to the 2A Girls Sectional Championship on Giant FM Sports.
FM Sports.
Sectional Championship night at Triton Central. Tigers will take on Shenandoah with a berth in the Speedway Regional on the line. And we're joined by Tigers head coach Brian Graham. You have a close one at halftime, closer than many would have anticipated Friday night. If you're the coach and you're still comfortable with where your team's going to be, where's the line when you're coaching between when you want to maybe yank the chain and wake some people up and let them play out of the situation on their own?
Well, last night, first half, I didn't call a timeout.
Yeah.
And I said, we're going to play through this till halftime. We're going to see what happens. And if it doesn't change around, then I'll use a little bit of motivational technique and kind of help them at halftime. And they came out, played a great second half. They only gave up 10 points. And in the fourth quarter, gave up 4 points, all free throws. So first half was very average for us, and give credit to Knightstown. They played well. They hit shots, and that's important. Second half, we came out and played, so hopefully we carry over to the second half this time.
I thought the one aggressive point in the opening minutes was Maya Chandler. She's scoring early, she's rebounding, but it just didn't equate to pulling away at all.
Yeah, it didn't. Maya did do a good job of tempo, pushing the ball, doing what Maya does, which is, we go as Maya goes, and we just couldn't get, we couldn't pull away. Every time we get up 3 or 4 points, all of a sudden they shoot a 3 and nail it, and then it was just kind of like, oh, here we go again.
Tinley Phelps, though, starts getting low post catches and effective catches to start the second half.
Yeah, at halftime, we made a decision. Everything we're going to do on the outside is going to go inside out first. And you work. Haley hit a couple shots, Maya hit a couple shots, but it just, I think with Tinley's presence in the post, you got to get her the ball and see how they're going to guard her. And if it's one-on-one against anybody, she has to go. Well, sometimes if it's 2-on-1, she has to go. But otherwise, she's going to create open spots for other people.
You've done this postseason thing a lot where you've prepared for what will be the next day's game, not necessarily knowing who it will be. In this case, it ends up being Shenandoah. When you're pulling video or assembling whatever paperwork you want on a possible opponent, do you prefer to see something where they have played someone you've also played, where they've played someone who maybe mirrors you in some respect? How do you gather what you want to have on hand?
A little bit of both. We like to play someone who's kind of like us, maybe, in this scenario, a little bit fast, up and down, and then also somebody that we've played so we can compare, okay, how do they match up with them? So kind of both. I mean, I think it's important to be prepared. Last night we had stuff waiting for Easter Hancock and for Shenandoah, and when the first game was over, we tossed it, and we knew we were going to play, and then you just got to move on.
Boy, for a while, we weren't sure who you were going to play. Shenandoah builds a double-digit lead, and then it all went away.
Well, honestly, before the game, I told my assistant coach, I said, I wouldn't be surprised if Eastern Hancock wins this game. And they got down early, and they're like, we don't think it's going to happen. Then they came back and were like, man, you might have been right. And then Shenandoah did a good job, hanging on there at the end, and I think Eastern Hancock ran out of gas. But it was a great game to watch.
And maybe an injured Shenandoah team, considering their young point guard went down late in the ballgame.
Oh, absolutely. And I totally understand that. I feel for teams with injuries. We've dealt with probably the most injuries I've ever dealt with in 10 years as a head coach this year. Beginning of the year, we were playing our first, handful of games with 12, 13 ballplayers for JV and varsity both. So I get it. I mean, right now we're dealing with Taylor Heath. We've got injured, and she's been out all year long. And so it definitely makes you readjust things. And I really understand the fact, the night before some, you know, right before a championship game. We had that a couple years ago. Nally Stevenson in the county went down and then turned around, and we had to readjust the lineup and rotations and roles, and it's tough, you know. So my hat's off to their coaching staff. I'm sure they worked hard on it if she's not going to play, and I'm sure they'll still be ready to play as a team.
Championship night, I'm sure you'd be okay if your team had an effective opening two quarters.
Yes, it would definitely help my nerves, my stomach, you know, if we decided to play the way we're capable of playing early on instead of waiting until halftime. We'd rather go on halftime and make little tweaks and adjustments than the old motivational talk. But I feel like we're prepared, ready to go, and I wish the fans a good evening, because hopefully it'll be a good game.
Good luck tonight.
Thanks. God bless.
He's Brian Graham, head coach at Triton Central. Our coaches' conversation brought to you by First Bank Shelbyville on Giant FM Sports.
You know, I like
Giant FM Sports, brought to you by Heritage Automotive, every Monday from 6 to 7 p.m.
Championship night at Triton Central, a berth in the Speedway Regional on the line as Shenandoah meets Triton Central. And we're joined by Damian Wyatt, the head coach at Shenandoah. I was reading preview articles trying to catch up on Shenandoah, who I hadn't had a chance to see firsthand this year. Well, you certainly know about the glory days not so long ago, because you were a student and you've married into the Shenandoah family even before becoming head coach.
Right. My wife played. We were dating during that time, so I got to experience it pretty close to the program. And then, you know, when this opportunity came about, couldn't pass it up, pretty excited, and, you know, here we are.
To revitalize things, a great season that you've had, and to know that you need to do it with a bit of a youth movement, moving in with some veterans, had to be challenging for a first-year coach.
Yes, and, you know, the biggest part of that was our older kids, our junior seniors, really taking those freshmen under their wing and really helping them be comfortable with the team. And they really bought into our family motto this year. And, you know, they play for each other, and that's what counts the most. They really like each other as friends on and off the court.
You had a game last night where you get up by double digits. Hadn't run away, but you had a comfortable lead. All of it goes away, and you have a key injury, but you're still here playing. What a finish.
You know, the kid said in the huddle, you know, let's do this for Kat. That's the girl that got injured in that play. And, you know, and I looked in their eyes, and, you know, there's still a lot of fight in those girls. And tonight I expect the same thing. I will go out, give it 110% with effort, passion, and, you know, let's just see what happens.
I know she can't play tonight, but tell me about a young point guard who didn't look very much like a young point guard as I watched her play in that game.
She's pretty good. She played quite a bit of basketball up to this point, so we knew how good she could be, but we didn't know she was going to be this good so early. She's got a bright future. I think she puts in more work. She's going to be in a lot of conversations down the road.
Single-game scenario, then, as everybody plays now just to stay alive, what adjustments does that cause you to have to make in a short amount of time?
Well, some more kids are going to get some more minutes. We got to get some points from somewhere, ball handling from somewhere. Just, you know, what our motto going in today was everybody's got to step up a little bit. No one needs to score anymore. We just got to play great defense like we've done all year, and we got other people that got to shoot the ball. You got to shoot the ball with confidence.
Talk about the Triton team you play tonight.
You know, they're well coached. They got a freshman that's really good, just like us, and a sophomore point guard that is pretty good in transition. They got a couple bigs, got a shooter, got a great defender. I mean, they have the whole package to make a deep run. We're just hoping we can, you know, stifle them a little bit with our defense and see what happens.
Appreciate your time. Thank you.
Thank you.
Damian Wyatt with us. He's the head coach at Shenandoah. We continue counting down to tip-off here on our pregame report, brought to you by BP Doc Shop on Giant FM Sports.
Get the inside story on Giant FM Sports.
Johnny McCurry, Jason Parker. Final moments of our Stanley Jones Insurance pregame report. We'll take a look at starting lineups for Triton Central and Shenandoah coming up in a few moments. Quick look at some of the brackets in play for this sectional championship night. You already spoke about Waldron playing Jacksonville in the 1A field at Waldron High School. Jacksonville, no doubt the favorite going into that game, but I'm going to guess there's still a feel and electricity to that gym, Waldron hosting a championship game.
Yeah, there absolutely is. I promise you that, because Waldron, you know, to get here, even to be in this championship game, has had to believe in themselves. They've been an underdog almost the whole way, and And we saw them beat a Rising Sun team that I don't think a lot of people thought they were going to do that night. And then they come back last night against their rival and knock them off when Morristown was out seeking revenge for their county tourney loss, and just a whole lot of factors played in. So Waldron comes in red hot as far as their standards are. And I look for them to, you know, be in that game early. And if they can maintain it, give Jacksonville a little bit of a scare.
In 4A tonight, Mount Vernon plays New Palestine at Connersville. Mount Vernon, a 60-47 winner back on December the 12th. New Pal, the team that can typically score more, but Julie Shelton known for defense, and she's back as the head coach in Mount Vernon.
Yeah. Yeah, she is, and, you know, she brings a lot of experience and a wealth of knowledge with her.
In 4A at East Central, 16-9 Columbus East, upended Columbus North in the semifinals. They play 16-9 East Central. East was a 56-44 winner over the Trojans back in November. At Blackford, 13-9 Yorktown will play 18-7 11th-ranked 3A Hamilton Heights. Heights was a winner January 18th in double overtime, 48-46. At South Dearborn, second-ranked 3A Greensburg, 19-3, will play Batesville, their old rival, at 13-11. Greensburg, an 18-point winner back on January the 20th. And as we work our way through our game here, we'll talk much more about the other sectionals that feed into the Speedway Regional. Let's take a look at our starting lineups tonight. They're brought to you by Maximum Results, dream homes found here. First of all, for the Triton Central Tigers, starting at a guard, a 5'7 sophomore, number 10, Maya Chandler, started off very aggressive in the semifinal game, played against Knightstown, finished with 15 points. Joining her in the backcourt, a 5'6 senior, number 22, Haley Schneider. At a guard, 5'8 senior, number 30, Renisha Holly. At a forward, a 5'11 freshman, number 34, Tinley Phelps, coming off a double-double, 23-point, 12-rebound performance in the semifinal over Knightstown. And rounding out the Triton Central starting five, in the post at 5'8, a senior, number 50, Isabella Cooper. For Triton Central, coached by Brian Graham in his 10th season, a record of 19-4, averaging 61 points per game, giving up 40.7 on the defensive end. For the Raiders of Shenandoah, starting tonight at a guard, a 5'6 junior, number 22, Faith Muderspa. At a forward, 5'10, number 30, Jenna Stewart, just a freshman. At a forward, a 5'9 senior, number 32, Hillary Shepherd. In the post, at 5'9, another freshman, number 44, Erica Hill. And another post player, 5'10 junior, number 21, Hannah Cole, rounds out the starting lineup for first-year coach Damian Wyatt. 17-6 in this first year with Shenandoah, his team averaging 54.2 points per game, giving up 39.7 on the defensive end. Once again, starting freshman guard Catherine Perry, the team's leading scorer, is out with an injury sustained last night in the semifinal. And the response to that has been to add height, not necessarily guard play, into the starting lineup for Shenandoah.
Well, I'm sure Cole is probably just their next best talented player, and she just happens to be 5'10", and really against this Triton Central team with Phelps down low, a little bit more size may not be the worst thing.
Triton Central starters one more time: Chandler, Schneider, Holly, Phelps, and Cooper. It'll be Cole, Muderspa, Stewart, Shepherd, and Hill for Shenandoah. Final minute of warm-ups taking place here. The winner will advance to play in the second semifinal at Speedway next week, and we'll play the winner out of the Cascade sectional between the home team Cascade and South Putnam. Triton Central, heavily favored in Sagarin, starting this sectional, maybe even more so now with the injury to Catherine Perry that we've been talking about. We'll take a timeout on the pregame. When we come back, ever closer to tip-off, Triton Central and Shenandoah for tonight's sectional title on Giant FM Sports.
Take the action with you at Giant FM.
Giant FM Sports Championship coverage being brought to you by First Bank Shelbyville. Doing great things together. Shelby Materials, the concrete and aggregate experts. Major Health Partners, experience the major difference. And BP Dock Shop, home of the best tenderloin in Shelbyville. Starting lineups wrapping up on the floor. Tip-off between Triton Central and Shenandoah next on Giant FM Sports.
Giant FM Sports.
Time for the Penny Acres Hoosier Realtors tip-off. Here for life's big moves. Triton Central, Shenandoah. Winner goes to Speedway for the regional next week. Erica Hill, Kenley Phelps in the center circle, and the tip controlled by Triton Central in the home whites on the home floor. Shenandoah, navy blue trimmed in yellow. Cooper for Triton Central. Ranisha Holly beyond the arc right side, and now Chandler up top directing the offense for Triton Central. Catch in the high post by Phelps. Couple of dribbles into the paint. A pass for Schneider. Here is Chandler under the free throw line. Outside to Holly. Holly down to the free throw line. Now Chandler. Man to man by Shenandoah. Ball on the perimeter for Holly again. Phelps, a free throw line catch. 15-footer, no good. Schneider, a rebound. Tried to force it back up. Blocked on the way up. Out of bounds off of Shenandoah.
Man-to-man that looks like a 2-3 because Cole is playing that middle, giving Ranisha Holly really anything she wants on the perimeter.
Here is Chandler catching the inbounds, dribbling out of the free throw line. Cooper holds on the perimeter. 55 seconds in, Triton Central's had the possession here throughout the opening minute.
And Hill was backing off Phelps there.
Chandler, alley-oop throw down to Phelps over the defenders. Phelps catches baseline and is fouled. She'll be at the free throw line.
I'm not sure you want to give Tinley Phelps an open three-pointer. She'll hit enough of those. Hill backed off of her. I think that's their plan, though.
Personal foul, Jenna Stewart of Shenandoah. At the line, Tinley Phelps. 15 points per game this season as a freshman. Started every game. 75% free throw shooter. Connects on the first and Triton on the board first this evening. Second free throw, good as well.
Phelps converts two.
Triton Central, 2-0 lead. And some backcourt straightaway man-to-man pressure provided by Schneider. Into the front court, Muderspa. Holding way out front is Stewart. Hill just above the free throw line. Coming to the basketball, Shepard. Shepard holding on the left elbow, gives it over on the right side of the free throw line to Cole. Ball knocked loose by Chandler, falls on top of it, and now a fight for it. Ball taken back by Shenandoah, and now stripped loose again on the baseline. Saved in by Holly, clear to the backcourt where Schneider runs it down and has her fast break layup swatted out of bounds.
Well, that got a little physical down here on this end. Chandler had the ball looking to pass it from the ground. Hill just comes in out of nowhere and knocks it out of Chandler's hands, and it goes back and forth.
Holly inbounding, throws it away. Picked off by Shenandoah Shepard, and at the other end of the floor, Shepard sees her fast break layup swatted away by Maya Chandler. A minute 40 in, Triton Central leading 2-0. Inbound toward the left corner, caught there by Muderspa. She'll dribble into the paint, some contact, no foul call either way, and Muderspa, able to finish, lays it up and in.
It's very important. Right there's Phelps for a three.
In transition off the left rim, comes off the right side, rebound Shepard, and a foul on Triton Central.
I'm not sure that's the three Phelps wants, but I feel like if she catches it within the framework of the offense and she's spotting up, I don't mind Phelps taking that shot. Probably not that in transition, though.
The foul on Ranisha Holly of Triton, her first. Shenandoah into the front court looking for its first lead of the ballgame. On the dribble out front is Muderspa, guarded by Schneider. Giving it up on the sideline to Cole. Cole being guarded closely by Chandler, and Chandler with an arm up into the body called for the foul.
Easy call there. Chandler was got away with it for 2 or 3 seconds, but finally the referee called her for the reach in there.
First personal Chandler, second on Triton Central. Hill ready to inbound sideline front court. Tossing in to Muderspa right at the timeline. Muderspa at the volleyball line, directing some traffic, gives it on a bounce pass to Cole on the wing. Cole down to the free throw line, loses control of the ball. Holly takes it away and gives to Chandler. Chandler, front court, Cooper, left wing, it's Holly. She'll dribble into the paint, bring it out to Chandler from 22, very short, and taken off the front rim by Stewart. 2-2, Shenandoah again front court, trying to grab the lead for the first time. Stewart down to the baseline, lobs it up, no good, rebound Renisha Holly. Chandler on the push from the backcourt. Top of the key, it's Cooper, a 17-footer, Isabella Cooper, good for two. 4-2, Triton Central on the BP Doc Shop scoreboard. Holly getting in the passing lane, taking away a bounce pass on the perimeter. Turns, finds Chandler, and Triton into the offensive end. Holly left alone, thought about the three, and looked over at Brian Graham, who was putting up his palm to say no, and told Coach Graham, I wasn't shooting that. Holly now holding right side. And there's not going to be any defense on Renisha Holly that far from the basket.
Is there a better personality?
No, there's not.
The team that we cover than Renisha Holly?
No.
She's wonderful.
Phelps open from three, right wing, in and out. Rebounded by Stewart. You could tell she was kind of amused and annoyed by Brian Graham, yeah, all at the same time. 4-2 Triton. Into the post, Stewart. Drop the ball. Phelps jumps on it. Hill jumps on Phelps, and look out.
Man, Hill has crashed in there twice now. They've got to call that at some point.
You can't just jump on somebody. In fact, the player on the bottom of the pile is her own teammate, Stewart, who is okay, but comes up a little gimpy.
That's why she's flown in. She got away with one earlier on Chandler, and she got away with that one, too. We'll see if the referees see that, as her and Cooper are bumping right now.
Shenandoah inbounding baseline, trailing 4-2. Running out of time, got to get it in, and finally thrown deep out for Cole. Cross court, Muderspa. Muderspa to the top of the key, Stewart. Substitution waiting for Shenandoah at the scorer's bench. 3:47 to go in the first, a 4-2 ball game, and we have an offensive foul away from the ball on Shenandoah.
Yeah, that's on Eric Hill. Not sure her first name.
Erica.
Erica Hill. As she was bumping a little bit too much with Cooper, and they got her on an illegal screen.
Number 21, Hannah Cole, will sit down. She'll be replaced by number 40, Skylar Counselor, a 5'6 junior, and she goes into the middle of that baseline defense. 4-2, Triton Central. Here's Cooper. Head fake free throw line. Into the paint. Off the glass, no. Gets her own rebound. Has it wrestled away. But in the process of that, a foul on Shenandoah. And the foul is number 2 on Jenna Stewart in this first period. Inbounding baseline, Holly. Out front, it's Cooper. Chandler now volleyball line on the dribble. Right side, Phelps beyond the arc. High post, Cooper left alone. 15-footer, no. Rebounded away by Hill. Hill gives to Muderspa. She'll throw deep down the right sideline. Now Hill with it just off the right elbow. Baseline corner, it's Stewart. Out front, Muderspa. 3-minute mark, 4-2, the Triton Central lead. Coming to the ball is Stewart. Stewart puts it on the floor, into the paint. Floater there, no good. Contested rebound out of bounds. It'll be Triton Central ball. Shenandoah substitution. Number 30, Stewart, will sit. Number 31, Sidney Campbell, a 5'8 junior, checks into the game. Triton Central has a change as well. Holly will come out of the contest, and Grace Christ will come in, the 5'6 sophomore, number 42. And it's instantly a different Triton team because there's an available shooter out there.
But it's very apparent right now Shenandoah is going to give the perimeter shot up almost to anybody, maybe not Schneider, but they are not going to allow Phelps and Cooper down low.
Schneider left wing, skip pass for Chris, and she traveled. With 2:36 to go, And certainly last night an example where Triton was close all the way to halftime and then pulled away. Shenandoah has this scoreboard where they need it to be.
Yeah, but they've got to start scoring. They've only got two here. They've turned it over four times. They've got to start making shots.
Looters Fall dribbling onto the sideline. Feeds it back on the perimeter for Counselor. Another near turnover. It is a scramble for the loose ball. And a held ball possession arrow in favor of Triton Central.
And they're unforced turnovers at this point. Triton not really creating them. Shenandoah is either making a bad pass or right there just flat dribbling it and losing control.
Dribbling it up into the front court offense is Chandler facing the two-guard front around a screen, draws the defense, and it leaves Christ open for three in the left corner. Grace Christ on the assist by Maya Chandler. 7-2 Triton Central in a pass. Not well executed, in fact. If Chandler doesn't knock that away in the attempted steal, it probably goes out of bounds.
Yeah, no doubt about that.
Cooper out for Triton Central. Number 31, Bailey Stamper. 6'1 freshman checks in. Mutterspa to sit down for Shenandoah. Number 4, Rachel Soden, a 5'4 freshman, into the backcourt now for the Raiders. Inbounding Shenandoah away from the benches on the sideline. Raiders just 2 points on the board. The bucket by Mutterspa, their only scoring. On the right wing, Shepherd. Out between the circles, Sydney Campbell gives it up for Soden. Left open off the dribble. She'll take a three, miss it badly off the glass. But Erica Hill, the rebound, and on the putback, she was fouled. She'll go to the free throw line. Erica Hill, one of the heralded freshman class for this Shenandoah team. 8.4 points, 9 rebounds a contest this year. And you're looking at two teams that much of their core is going to be playing in this game for a while to come.
Yeah, as long as this sectional stays together, this will be your championship game most years.
Erica Hill's free throw no good. She has one more coming. Just a 48% free throw shooter, second to the injured Catherine Perry in the number of attempts taken this season. Ready to go, second free throw. And Hill, it's really kind of a shot put with that one hand. She does make the second. Number 21, Cole back in for Shenandoah, replacing Counselor. Triton Central offensively with Stamper out of the game. Phelps and Chandler in the backcourt. Schneider, Christ, and Cooper round out the five on the floor right now for Brian Graham. Less than a minute and a half to go. First period, 7-3 Triton Central. Here's Cooper. Baseline, Phelps can't finish. Rebound knocked around momentarily. Finally grabbed by Campbell. Into the front court comes Soden. Cole to Hill. Outside, Soden. 65 seconds to play first quarter, and Soden going to be called for traveling. Our old broadcast partner, Gary Hamner, at Waldron Jackson Dell tonight. And he says, if you want to put a percentage on it, it's about 85% full at Waldron for that sectional championship game.
Yeah, good for a good draw for Waldron Athletic Department.
Soden takes a seat. Change for Shenandoah, number 11, Riley Johnson, a 5'5 sophomore into the lineup. And Triton Central starting to make it a point to get it to Tenley Phelps on the block, and she scores on the left side. 9-3, Triton advantage, final 45 seconds in the first. Hill left alone, won't take an 18-footer. Putting it on the floor, bobbling it is Cole, lost out of bounds. Last touch by Triton Central. Change for the Tigers. Number 44 is Riley McAllister, a 5'8 junior. Schneider goes to the bench. And Brian Graham wants one more change, and he's not going to get it before the inbounds play. Shenandoah inbounding baseline. Cole with it. Deflection Chandler. Ball recovered on the sideline by Campbell. And Shenandoah really having trouble in basic handoffs. Triton Central in every passing lane. Here is Hill dribbling into the paint. Awkward layup, no good. Chandler up for the board, and she'll push it front court. 15 seconds for Triton Central, and Chandler turns it over. Shenandoah now with 9 seconds to get up court. Down the sideline, and the Triton Central student section just took a shot attempt away from Shenandoah. They counted down 3-2-1 with about 9 seconds to go, and Shenandoah was ready to shoot from midcourt before the ball was knocked out of hand and out of bounds. Soden back in replacing Hill. Chandler comes out for a moment. 4.4 seconds left as Shenandoah inbounds sideline midcourt. It comes into midcourt, nearly turned over on a violation. A three as time expires off the mark. We've reached the end of one period of play in this 2A sectional championship game. Triton Central 9, Shenandoah 3. You're listening to high school basketball, Giant FM Sports.
Giant FM Sports, brought to you by Heritage Automotive, every Monday from 6 to 7 p.m.
Johnny McCurry, Jason Parker. Second period underway from Triton Central. It will be Shenandoah basketball trailing Triton 9-3. And Jason, Shenandoah, obviously the plan here, we've got to play great defense. We've got to keep Triton Central at about half of their 60-point scoring average. The problem is, can Shenandoah score enough points to win even in that fashion?
Right. We'll see here.
Jumper, banker, off the rim, no by Soden, starting the second period. Rebound, Ranisha Holly. Chandler front court for Schneider. Phelps and Cooper, the original starters on the floor for Triton, beginning the second period. Schneider being handled by one of the guards, Johnson, out of the two-guard front. Ball on the perimeter with Phelps. Chandler out front. Chandler picks up the dribble. Phelps comes to the basketball. Flash in the high post by Cooper. And Triton having to try and listen to Brian Graham right now, and he just keeps preaching patience against his own defense. Chandler up front, lob for Phelps behind the defenders, and the defender recovering gives up the foul. Tinley Phelps will be at the free throw line.
Shenandoah falls asleep there, not communicating with each other on that baseline. Let Phelps just kind of trickle behind him, and really Chandler with a nice pass, and Phelps, they're lucky she didn't make that.
First foul on Hannah Cole, fourth on the team. Phelps at the line for the second time this evening, and she's made all three so far. For Shenandoah, Erica Hill back in. Sydney Campbell will sit down. Shenandoah, 6 first quarter turnovers.
Yeah.
On the season, averaging 14.6. Second shot, good. Phelps has 6 of her team's 11. 11-3, the Triton Central lead. Into the game for Shenandoah, number 12 is Stormy Fitch, a 5'6 sophomore guard. And she has it on the perimeter left. Lobs it down low. Tough catch going to the baseline by Cole, who saves it but throws it away. The pickoff by Schneider. Back to Chandler. A three in transition. Nothing but net by Maya Chandler. Chandler, 15 points per game on the board for the first time in this one. And a timeout, Shenandoah. It's a full. We'll take it as well. BP Doc Shop scoreboard. Triton Central 14, Shenandoah 3. This is high school basketball, Giant FM Sports.
Inside story on Giant FM Sports.
14-3, Triton Central leading Shenandoah. 6:25 to go, second period, and a blocked shot by Triton out of bounds. It will remain Shenandoah basketball. Shift you to the 1A sectional site at Waldron. Give you a score in just a moment between Jackson Dell and the Mohawks. Ball inbounded through the hands of Erica Hill. Picked off by Maya Chandler. Coast to coast, a layup off the back rim, no good. Hill secures the defensive rebound. At the end of one at Waldron, Jackson Dell 10. Mohawks down 2 with 8 in the first period. A three from straight on, no good by Shenandoah, rebounded by Ranisha Holly.
Strong first quarter by the Mohawks. They need that.
Top of the key, Phelps. Outside on the wing, Holly. Pass to the right wing for Chandler. Chandler out near center circle, dribbles down top of the key. Phelps, baseline, Cooper, mid-range jumper, missed everything. Holly there to contest the rebound, but last to touch it out of bounds. For Shenandoah, Cole will sit down. Stormy Fitch also takes a seat. Muderspa back in to bring the ball up into the front court, joined by Soden in the back court. 14-3, the Triton Central lead as Muderspa feeds Soden. Soden gives it off into the hands of Shepard. Outside with it is Soden, now Muderspa. Muderspa penetrating, fall away off 1 foot, no good. Erica Hill, the rebound put back, that is missed, and Chandler on the defensive rebound. Chandler front court, Schneider catch and shoot three in transition is no good, and Brian Graham has had enough of his offense. He is a frustrated head coach right now. Soden on the perimeter. Gives it up to Shepard. Back to Soden. A wide open look at a three. Missed everything. Hill the rebound. And Hill either was fouled by Cooper or traveled because she went back 10 feet without putting the ball on the floor. Neither call happened. Shenandoah still has the basketball. Muderspa on the perimeter. Soden. With the air ball chant coming from the Triton student section right under the basket. Holly trying to stay on Soden, and she does long enough. That is a 5-second call. Substitution Shenandoah. Soden will come out. Number 40, Counselor, back in.
Yep, Gary Hamner's right. Good crowd on hand. Pictures at Waldron Athletics on Twitter. Upper deck looks almost full.
You imagine how loud that place is right
especially
now with a close ball game.
10-8.
Grace Christ in the game for Triton, feeding the high post. Chandler outside with a catch, top of the key. Outside with it is Schneider. Penetrating is Chandler. Blocked from behind. Great defensive play by Shepard. She also comes up with the rebound and then is fouled in the backcourt. The winner of this game plays the winner from Cascade. They have gone to halftime already. South Putnam 35, Cascade 24 at the break. Here at Triton Central, certainly not running away with things, but Shenandoah has no semblance of an offense right now. And playing without Catherine Perry, it's certainly been a hamstring to what they've wanted to do. Counselor. Ball on the perimeter, a touch now for Stewart. Here comes Hill to the ball. Put it on the floor, but dropped it. It rolls to a teammate, results in a three-point try that is missed. Rebounded away by Chandler. 3:24 to go first half. Cooper on the perimeter, Christ. Head fake. Open is Chandler. Missed the three, nothing but the backboard. And the defensive rebound to Stewart for the Shenandoah Raiders. Stewart holding volleyball line, waiting. Needs somebody to come to the basketball. And finally, baseline left, it's Shepard. And she stepped out of bounds on the dribble drive.
10th turnover here in the first half for Shenandoah.
2:57 left to go in the half. Coming up at halftime, the numbers from the first two quarters. A quick look at the daytime boys basketball, and we'll catch up on some girls' sectional scores as well. And a player out of bounds, Schneider, had the ball knocked loose by Muderspa, and as they fought for it, Muderspa had a foot out of bounds. And Brian Graham wants a timeout. It'll be a 30 from the Triton Central bench. 2:42 left to go in the half. What we've seen so far does not lead you to believe Shenandoah is going to find any offense in this game. However, we watched Eastern Hancock flounder around for quite some time before they caught fire and nearly beat Shenandoah last night. And here's the other problem. If you're Triton Central, you should have won this game already, and your offense has been almost as anemic.
Yep, 14-3 right now. Shenandoah, a field goal and a free throw. They just don't look like they are getting anything easy offensively. and Triton Central right now. Shenandoah playing good defense. Triton just not making shots, and they're rushing some shots. They're not working that ball around. This zone really seems to have affected them, and it looks like Shenandoah will come out of it now.
Extending the defense to pick up on Chandler as she catches and comes across the timeline. Chandler has a defensive player with her. Schneider holding the ball top of the key. Christ with it now. No one from Shenandoah checking Christ about 30 feet from the basket, and she is going to stand there with the basketball. So Triton has a double-digit lead. They can afford to do this. Shenandoah wants a shorter game, even at this point. Maybe they can afford to do this. Let's see what Shenandoah wants to do to force Triton to move. They do run at Christ. Now Chandler. Schneider runs into a double team. In trouble. Tied up. No, it'll be a reach-in foul. And the Shenandoah crowd's going to go nuts right down near that play. Schneider really put herself in a bad situation and got bailed out by a foul call. Erica Hill with her second. Tigers inbounding to Cooper at the free throw line. Chandler drives around a defender, picks up the dribble, and then double dribble. It remains 14-3.
Triton's lucky right now that Shenandoah can't find anything offensively.
A minute 50 to go. Really a big minute 50. Can Shenandoah hit one or two field goals just to draw a bit closer? They have one made field goal. Hill's going to dribble up into a three, miss it. Rebound, Christ on the block out, knocked to the floor. Players all over the floor. Ball into the backcourt, recovered by, but then thrown away by Shenandoah. And here comes Chandler for Triton Central. On the perimeter, Chandler and Christ. Christ, cross-court pass for Schneider. Schneider feeds it back for Chandler. And a bump and a foul goes against Shepherd. Team foul number six, no free throws involved. Just the first foul call on Shepherd tonight. Triton Central backcourt nearly picked off by Muttersbaugh. Chandler drives, finds Cooper. Baseline jumper, good for two. Second bucket for Cooper, 4 points, and a 16-3 Triton Central lead. Holding way out front, needing help, is Stewart. Here is Hill. Hill off into the hands of Shepherd. In the corner, Stewart, a drive and a one-hander up and good for two. And Jenna Stewart becomes the second player with a field goal for Shenandoah. 16-5. Two guards come at Chandler as she gets to the timeline. Here's Phelps above the free throw line. Grace Chris for three, in and out. Rebounds. They'll crash the boards. And Cooper knocked Counselor to the floor. The foul on Triton Central's Cooper. Team foul number five. Soden coming into the game for Shenandoah with 20 seconds left. She'll replace Stewart. Chandler will go to the bench for Triton Central as McAllister is in. And Shenandoah coming length of the court looking for a final shot here at the end of the first half. Across the timeline is Muttersbaugh, and an offensive foul on the screen on Erica Hill.
Yeah, she went to screen and then almost she reverse pivoted into her and then just tried to root her down the lane with her backside, and that's an easy call for the official.
Even her assistants are telling her as she kind of protests to them why it was called a foul.
You can't do that.
That is her third. Triton Central bringing in Riley Stevens, the 5'11 sophomore. She joins Christ and Schneider. Phelps and Chandler also back in for a final possession with 12 seconds. Chandler still deep in the backcourt with 10. 9 across the timeline with 7. Chandler at the volleyball line. Dribbles into the free throw line. Gets a runner in the paint. Banks it up. No good. Got her own rebound. The putback is also missed as time expires. Halftime at Triton Central. Low scoring, but the Tigers have the advantage of 16-5. Our halftime brought to you by H&R Block, coming up on Giant FM Sports.
Take the action with you at Giant FM.
Halftime brought to you by H&R Block with tax solutions to fit your needs. 16-5. Yes, 5. Triton Central over Shenandoah at the break. And even watching Shenandoah just once in last night's semifinal and looking at the numbers that Catherine Perry, their starting freshman point guard, provides, leading score, leading steals, leading assists. Mm-hmm. We knew it could be devastating. Boy, it's had an impact. Right now, Shenandoah getting into an offense, one. Number two, getting good shots.
Yeah.
There haven't been many of those so far.
Well, they just don't have anybody that can get them into any kind of an offense, and turnovers have been a big problem. 12 already in the half. And a lot of them unforced turnovers that were just caused by bad passes, just bad angles on passes. A couple of them that Triton deflected or they would have been turnovers. So right now, Shenandoah really not even competing at this point. Triton is just, unfortunately for them, not hitting many shots. Or this could be a 35-5 type game if Triton played anything to an average first half offensively.
Individual scoring for Triton Central. Tinley Phelps with 6, 4 of 4 from the free throw line included in that. 4 points by Isabella Cooper, 3 apiece by Maya Chandler and Grace Christ. 4 for 4 free throw shooting by Triton Central first half. Shenandoah, 2 field goals, 3 scores. Muterspa with a bucket, Stewart has a basket, and Erica Hill has a free throw. 1 of 2 free throw shooting by Shenandoah. 9-3 after one. 16-5, the Triton Central lead here at halftime.
Well, we've told you the score. Here's the numbers to back it up. 2 of 14 from Shenandoah. 14%. 0 of 6 behind the arc. 13 rebounds, 0 assists, and 12 turnovers in the first half. For Triton Central, 5 of 20 from the field, 25%. 2 of 8, 25% behind the arc. 8 rebounds, 3 offensive, 5 assists, and 5 first-half turnovers for the Tigers. Individual leaders in the rebounding column for Shenandoah. Erica Hill leads the way with 5. Stewart and Shepard each with 3. And in the rebounding column for Triton Central, Chandler leads with 4. Holly with 2. And Maya Chandler also leading in the assist column with 3 at the half.
Let's go to the BP Doc Shop scoreboard. How about this? Fourth ranked Jackson Dell 25, Waldron 20 at halftime. Morgan Wood leading Waldron with 8. Lily Simon, who I think has been playing at Jackson Dell for 12 years now, has 11 points for Jackson Dell. The Mohawks are within 5 at the break.
Well, you know, we talked in the opening, Waldron is riding a lot of momentum right now. And when you got momentum on your side and you can believe that maybe you belong there and you have to be there in order to win a sectional championship, and Waldron has put themselves in position, and good for them to be there, and now good for them to be competing. And I think holding Jackson Dell to 25 is a good sign, and scoring 20 against Jackson Dell is also a good sign. So we'll see if they can keep it up. We've seen teams stay close when you're big underdogs in the first half, and then second half, the better, more talented team wears them down. So we'll see if Waldron can keep that going into the third quarter.
The winner of our game here between Triton and Shenandoah plays the winner coming out of Cascade. South Putnam had an 11-point lead at halftime. That has been cut by half, 42-37. South Putnam now on top, going to the fourth period.
And that will be the noon game at Speedway next Saturday, the winner of that game versus the winner of our game here.
16-5. A field goal and a safety right now for the Shenandoah offense, yep. Down 11 at the break. You're listening to high school basketball, Giant FM Sports.
Giant FM Sports.
Final moments of our halftime report brought to you by H&R Block. Triton Central 16, Shenandoah 5. Let's start with the team in white. Tell me why Triton Central is going to go ahead and win this game tonight.
Honestly, because I don't think Shenandoah is going to have enough to come back and beat him. I mean, I'll be surprised if Shenandoah gets much higher than 16 total points for the rest of the game the way they're going. Triton's not playing their best game, but they're going to do enough. And, you know, if they get to the 40s, they'll be winning this game going away.
Original starting five on the floor for Triton Central. And it looks like the same can be said for Shenandoah as we get the third period.